Vermont has recently added 9 species to the state's threatened and endangered list. 3 different types of bumblebees, the Fowler's toad, the rusty blackbird, and 4 plants. In total, Vermont lists 51 animals that are threatened or endangered animals and 163 plants. We have a link to all those protected species at vpr.net if you'd like to look at them in more detail. The endangered and threatened lists gives protection to the species and their habitat, but not without controversy. Hilary Hoffman is professor in the Vermont Law School's Environmental Law Center, and she joins us now to talk about how the Endangered Species Acts work. Professor Hoffman, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Hi, Nina. Thanks for having me on the show.
So there are actually 2 Endangered Species Acts that apply in Vermont. There's the federal law and the state law, and we'll get to the reason for the 2 laws in a moment. But let's start with the federal law. What does it prohibit?
Federal law forbids anyone to take an endangered or threatened species, which includes pursuing, shooting, capturing, pulling up a plant. For example, that would fall under the definition, harassing animal species or attempting to do any of those things. And it also includes damaging or destroying the habitat of a listed species.
Well, I'm curious, how do you find out about that? Do people call in and,
No. Usually the agency will notify the landowner that there's a species, or sometimes the landowner will apply for a permit from a state or a federal agency, and then the agency will let the landowner know that the species exists.
I just was wondering about neighbors kind of ratting out the other neighbors saying, you know, somebody pulled up this or that. So how do species get on this list? Is it a purely scientific process?
Well, it's a lengthy procedural process, and federal law states that anyone can petition the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which is the agency primarily responsible for listing endangered or threatened species, and ask for a species to be listed. When the agency receives one of those petitions, it has about 90 days to decide whether the petition has merit, and if so, the agency has 1 year to consider all of that scientific evidence to make the formal decision about whether to add the species to the list.
And that's where the state law comes in then?
Under state law, it's a similar process, so that anyone can petition the state agency to list the species, but the determination would be made based on whether the species is threatened or endangered just within the state borders.
So the 9 species I mentioned that are listed under the Vermont Endangered Species Act, the federal program doesn't list them as endangered or threatened. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And why would a state be able to say that these species need protection but the federal government disagrees?
Well, it's not necessarily that there's disagreement. It's just that the state has identified these species as being as falling below the threshold within the state's borders. So it could be that there are higher numbers of the species in other states, and that's why the federal agency hasn't acted, or it could just be that the species is not one of the species that the federal agency considers to be a priority species.
Sure, sure. What are some of the differences between Vermont's Endangered Species Act and the federal statute when it comes to, say, habitat?
Yes, the focus of the federal law and Vermont's law are slightly different with respect to habitat. So under federal law, once a species has been listed, the agency is required to designate what's called critical habitat within 1 year, and that's defined as areas within the species' greater range or habitat that contain essential physical or biological features. That's what the statute says for the species' survival. So those are sort of like mating areas, spawning grounds, and areas like that. Under Vermont law, there's a broader definition, so the act prohibits all habitat destruction, and there's no delineation about critical habitat.
Huh. So the general habitat difference between the very important habitat, there's no distinction.
That's right, under Vermont law.
Huh. So what happens, say, if you find that you've got tulip tree or Green Mountain quillwort, those are the 2, I believe, that are on the recently added to the list, on your property. What can you do and what can't you do according to the law?
Well, that will usually be up to the agency. So if there's something that you're doing that's threatening those species, the agency will usually let you know. Otherwise, agencies actually keep the location of species and habitat confidential, and they're required to by statute, and that's to prevent people from going out and poaching or deliberately targeting species. So you might not know that you have an endangered species on your property unless you're doing something that threatens that species.
I would think that would be the norm not to know.
Yes, that's correct. Yes. Unless you're a scientist, you have some specialized knowledge.
So does either law require that you report these plants or animals if you find them on your property? If you, you know, is there a statute that says you need to, if you recognize them?
No, there's absolutely no requirement under federal or state law that you report the discovery of a species. But I think that either the federal or state agencies would appreciate it if you did.
Sure.
If you knew that you had encountered an endangered species, I'm sure they would appreciate a friendly call letting them know that you had spotted the species and where, but there's no requirement.
How does Vermont deal with farmers? You know, they've got so much larger tracts, you know, bigger properties that they're using. Do farmers fall under special rules regarding these state laws?
Yes, there's an exception under Vermont law for farming and logging activity, actually, and some would say that that exception almost swallows the statute because the state is prohibited from taking any action that would have a substantial impact on farming and logging activities. And so it's been the practice of the Vermont Agency of Natural Resources to let farming and logging activities occur even when there are endangered and threatened species. And it's required, the agency's required to under the statute.
Has there been any pushback on that? Are there critics that feel that that's not a good idea?
Yes, there has. As far as formally, I'm not sure about that, but there's definitely been scholarly criticism of the statute for having such a large exception. The federal law does not contain an exception like that. And under federal law, you're actually required to apply for a permit to continue any activity that would endanger a species or its habitat.
If you're found to be flouting the state or federal law, building on a site that's deemed critical habitat, say, what kind of penalties can you face?
The penalty provisions are between $500 and $1,000 under both laws, and I think Vermont's is actually the $1,000 and federal is $500. But under federal law, people should be aware that intentional trafficking in endangered species can be punishable by a fine of up to $25,000 per violation.
You've called the Federal Endangered Species Act one of the most powerful federal laws for its ability to bring development and construction projects to a halt when a species is discovered. That's not a good thing in everyone's mind, though.
No, it's not. And in Vermont, there have been several developments that people have probably heard about, such as a housing development in Williston near Taft Corners and a snowmaking pond at Killington that have been sort of large-scale controversies involving endangered species. But both of those projects actually proceeded. It was just there was some delay required because of the presence of the species to determine how to mitigate the habitat loss. So on the whole, development usually tends to occur despite the existence of the species, as long as the landowner can demonstrate habitat mitigation. So environmentalists would say that's a flaw in the statute. And then developers would also criticize it, too, because it usually results in delay and additional expense.
And briefly, as a final question, how does Vermont's endangered law stack up to other states?
Well, Vermont is one of the states that has an endangered species law, so that puts it ahead of several states, and it's joined by New Hampshire and Maine. So actually, there's a lot of protection for endangered species in the New England area. And many of the states that have these laws have, the agriculture states have similar exceptions, and they tend to mirror the federal law. So these states usually adopt their environmental protection acts in line with the federal statute.
Professor Hillary Hoffman teaches natural resources law, administrative law, and Native American law at the Vermont Law School. Professor Hoffman, thanks very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.